Okay, good morning, everybody. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just wanted to say, for those of you who are not here, we wish you were here. So if you're hearing this message online, we look forward to your return to worship with us. So for those of you who are listening online, also, good morning. I have to say, because I'm only here once a month, I'm so blessed to have the chance to meet with many of you, to share your ministries with you, and of course to be up here sharing the word with you. But what I'm going to do is extend an invitation for the next time that I'm here a month from now. It seems like I'm always saying goodbye and then I'm back. We'll be doing this relationship for a year. But I really would like to get to know you better and meet up with you one-to-one. And I know it can be logistically difficult, but Pastor Marianne is going to provide my schedule for you. My email will be there. So please do give me a call and we will get together. We'll figure out what works out for both of us and have coffee or whatever, you know, whatever is best for you. So that takes care of the housekeeping piece of the message. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about testing. And I'm not talking about the tests in your life. We hear a lot about that in messages. But really, I wanted to talk about the choices that we make during that time. And I had to laugh a little bit because when I was working to create this image, there were questions about what a Scantron sheet is. I didn't want you to think that was a lottery ticket, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So if you've ever taken a test with the state, I have for water treatment, real estate, contractor, they're multiple choice tests. So this is a Scantron, and this is what we use to keep track of our answers. So again, we're going to be talking about choices, and I want to warn you, a lot of times you'll hear somebody who's speaking say, and there'll be a quiz at the end, I am going to give you a multiple choice test. I'll give you three multiple choice tests throughout this message to see if you are paying attention. So be ready for that, and we'll get through it together. Don't you worry. So you're going to sense a pattern in our message today, and it's all based on the theme, all of the above. Speaking of patterns, as I was preparing for this message with this whole theme of fill-in-the-dot Scantron sheets, I kind of went online and looked at some of the patterns that people do. So if you're taking a test and you run out of time and you get desperate, I asked my daughter, I said, so if you have a few that you haven't filled out and you've run out of time because these tests are timed, what do you do? And she says, oh, I always choose C. I went online, I saw people that did the shape of a heart. I wouldn't recommend any of these. If you're testing, study and take the time that you need, but one person that I talked to said, well, I always answer D, all of the above. So I thought, wow, that's when the light bulb kind of went off. So let's think about this for a moment. These letters, the epistles, of which today we read from Hebrews, they're all written with the hope and I'm sure the prayer to whom they are addressed that they will choose Jesus Christ in their life. So let's talk about a little bit of background on the epistle or the book of Hebrews, the epistle being a letter. The author of the letter of Hebrews is anonymous. So a lot of times we'll hear it said that the apostle of Hebrews is brought to you by the apostle Paul. Well, the letter is actually anonymous, and when you look at its original writing in Greek, it's been kind of proven that the Greek writing that is in Hebrews does not match the style that Paul wrote in. So what I'll do is I'll just say the author of Hebrews, because I want you to be curious, because when it comes to curiosity and the Bible, that's a good thing. So be curious. In this time that the letter of Hebrews was written and delivered, the people of the day had many options of who and when they would worship. In our text for today, the author of Hebrews is addressing both Jewish and Christian people. This letter came at a time when Christianity was just being developed, and its relationship to Judaism was being clarified. While its author is anonymous, its intention seems very clear, that it's to proclaim that Christ is the Son of God and that Christ is above all, as we read, the great high priest. The author of Hebrews is sharing the message with people there about the new covenant, that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was what was needed for forgiveness. And that gives us all also grace, mercy, and love in that. And true to the nature of God's inspired word, the living word seems to draw us in, serves to draw us in to what's being offered to us there. Now, let's be totally honest with one another. We are living in really what is a multiple choice world. And wherever you are on the scale financially, here in the United States, we are some of the richest people in the world. And these choices that we make, whether it's about money or family, all of these choices put us in a state of motion in our relationship with God, in the relationship we have with our Creator. We're either being drawn towards God with the decisions we make, or we're stepping away from God with those decisions and those choices. We're never really static. We're always moving. There is always motion. So the question is, do all of these choices that we make lead us away or lead us towards Jesus in our lives? When you boil down the contextual arguments, that is, what's happening in the day, the money, the people, the culture, everything that's happening, when you take time to weigh all of those factors, we are really struggling in the same way that the people of that time did in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not about temple taxes or things like that, but it is about what it means to be forgiven. We know that we are forgiven through Christ, but still, we often carry the burden of forgiveness in our lives. That is, the forgiveness of ourselves and the forgiveness of others. The people who were sharing the message, this letter, Hebrews, many of them had actually heard Jesus teach and had seen the Son of God perform the miracles that he did. We struggle with forgiveness, and what's more, we don't even know if we have tomorrow. So let's talk about time just for a moment. We only have so much. How much? Really, only God knows. We don't. Even our relationship together is based on time. As your intern pastor, I'm only here once a month. And there's a sense of loss and grief when next week I won't be with you and I'll be somewhere else. So things are based on time. So think about that. The forgiveness piece and the time piece. In our opening, we responsively read Psalm 90, and we read, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives." The brevity of life, the shortness of life, it is a vapor. We're familiar with that language in Scripture. It's a vapor. It happens that fast. And sometimes we wait too long. It's true. We are asking God for wisdom, that in the time that we have, we might choose joy. We may choose joy in that short time that we have. God's love for each of us, each and every one of us, and the grace that we are given through Christ Jesus frees each one of us to serve God and one another with our time. And brothers and sisters, time is a gift. And how blessed are we that it's not a matter of, as we share this time with one another, either or. It's not a matter of either or, but both and. And to kind of drive that point home, we're going to have our first multiple choice question right now. Okay, here it is. What do we receive freely from God? A, grace. B, mercy. C, love. Or D, all of the above. I told you this. All of the above. You guys are good. You guys are good. Maybe I'll stump you on the next question, but it's not likely. The author of Hebrews was calling into question certain practices of Judaism, so certain practices of that faith of the Jewish people. Looking specifically at the priestly language, so we see that word priest And it can kind of speak differently than what we're used to when we read the New Testament. In the text, the author is telling those who are reading this letter that the priests of the day, which would be Levitical priests, are not perfect. In fact, they are performing sacrifices continually for the atonement of their sins. So they're doing burnt offerings. They're doing these practices of sacrifice to show forgiveness of sin, while Jesus offered himself once and for all. And at that time of offering himself, we were freed from guilt. We were freed from fear. And we were freed from shame. This is what the author of Hebrews is telling the Jewish people who are practicing this Judaism at the time, that there is a new covenant. There is a new promise for us. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives continually. But still, we choose our way. That was then, and that is now. It's interesting how when you think of a letter that was written 2,000 years ago, we can read Hebrews and really look at it as if it's fresh, because God's Word is living Word. It speaks to us, and we need to be in the Word. I wanted to bring up a term that speaks to what it means to live two lives. So this isn't a word that I'm going to ask. We're not going to be tested on this word. I'm not going to ask you to remember this word. But the word is dichotomy. And it's a word in my studies that has really kind of risen to the surface. And dichotomy is when we live two lives. So we live our life here on Sunday with our community. And then we live that other life when we're at home, when we're at work, when we're on the golf course, when we're with friends, with family. That's dichotomy. That's living two lives. So again, for many, it's here. And some of us have a midweek experience. Some of us hang out at Bridges serving on Saturday, which is awesome. But then there's that other life. And I've always struggled with, what does that mean? We have God. We are accessible to God 24 hours a day, every day. But yet we choose to do this second life. And I want to encourage you to really think about that as you go day to day. That word dichotomy. Again, you don't need to remember it. Kind of remember what it means to live two lives. So the one who knows us best, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, wants us to engage in a daily walk. Not just Saturday, not just Sunday. Daily. Each and every day. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to get you on this one for sure. So it's time for our next multiple choice question. Jesus Christ died on the cross to free us from A, shame, B, guilt, C, fear, or D, all of the above. Okay, I've got one more chance. Excellent. Good job. Now, we've talked a little bit about the book of Hebrews in context of what it meant in that time. Now again, let's look at the application for us today, how the book of Hebrews applies to us in our lives and how we can make a connection to what we experience each and every day. What about God's word as a sharp, two-edged sword brings us comfort? It actually sounds really scary. It does to me anyway. What the author is saying is that the Word of God goes deep. It's not meant to simply be on the surface, not surface level, but the Word of God goes deep. That it has power to open us and reveal what it is that we think we are hiding from God. That is, if we allow it to. If we will allow God's Word to go deep into our hearts, it will reveal those things that need God's attention. To illustrate this point, I want you to think of a certain activity, something that we've all done and something that can cause us great anguish. Now, last time it was driving, and you're probably thinking, Pastor Matthew, why do you bring up these terrible things that just get us frustrated? But bear with me, it's going to prove a point. And that is moving day. So who here has ever moved? I have to say that most of us, right? And I've heard some great moving stories here in this community, but I want you to think about something here. And you may not be familiar with moving, and that's because when you know somebody is moving in or moving out, when you see their call on your caller ID, you let it go right to voicemail. Because you know why they're calling. You know why they are calling. So if you're not familiar with moving, maybe this will give you an idea. Anyway, the process of moving. So think about that one thing in your house, that thing that is an odd shape. It's kind of an odd size. It's a little bit bulky. Doesn't really weigh too much. You grab that thing and you're making your way to load it on the truck when somebody stops you and offers you a hand. Now, this is going to be to test what I think about this statement, this phrase that we use. So somebody tries to take that from you. What is it you say to that person? I got it, right? I've got it. And here's what we usually say, and I've heard many people say these exact words. I've got it. It's not heavy. It's just awkward. It's not heavy. It's just awkward. When we let God's word, the living word, enter us, we are able to receive healing, forgiveness, and strengthening of our very souls. We're carrying things that we will not give to God. We're saying to God, no, God, I got this. It's not heavy. I can handle this. It's just awkward. I've got it. Those are the things that we need to give to God, to mend, to heal, to begin to change us. God is a God of transformation and is just waiting to take those things from us that we choose to carry. We read, everything is naked and exposed before God's eyes. Are these things that you think you are hiding from God, things that are in need of a touch from a powerful word of God? I believe they are. And here's a news flash for you. God already knows about those things. God already knows and is waiting for an invitation to go to work on those things. So when you come before God with those things, with your thoughts and your desires, and with those things, let's think of the word all, okay? All means all. That thing that you're carrying that you think you can handle on your own, when God says, bring everything to me, bring it all. All means all. Amen to that. Let's move to the last portion of our reading from Hebrews. Here, we're introduced to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Here, the reader of Hebrews is made aware that they are known by Jesus Christ, that the Holy Trinity has chosen them. I know that we do have Stephen ministers here, and there's one thing that I learned in Stephen ministry, and this applies to being a pastor also. When someone has been hurt, when someone has experienced crisis in their life, there is one thing you can say that is probably the least helpful thing of anything you could probably say to minister to that person. And that thing is, I understand exactly what you are going through. I understand exactly what you are going through. No, you don't. You're not me. You don't know me. You don't know what I've just been through. So that's a free tip there. If somebody comes to you and they're hurt, listen. Listen to them. Don't say, oh, I understand. I understand. But the truth is, the author of Hebrews was giving hope to the people of that time by letting them know that, in fact, there was somebody who understood their lives when they were going through an other than a mountaintop experience. God is with us. Christ knows our pain, and the Holy Spirit provides us with comfort, provides us with love, provides us with joy, and provides us with peace. Okay, this is the part of the message where I give you the intern disclaimer. Last time I had told you there was something I wasn't sure if I was going to bring to the message, but I chose to bring it anyway, so this is that thing, AI. So buckle up, because here it comes. We're going to walk through this together. So, AI stands for artificial intelligence. Okay, so technology has begun to try and understand us. If you spend time on the internet and social media, even with some emails, many retail sites, if you've been to those places, this abbreviation, AI, artificial intelligence, might be familiar to you, and it might be something that you're not aware of, but you've been touched by. This is the tool that the internet uses to try and figure you out based on your choices, based on your patterns, the decisions you make, the things you do on the internet. This tool is also what goes into cars that drive themselves. So this technology is something that's trying to understand, try to think before we think, try to really know us even better than we know ourselves. So I was on the internet recently, and a window popped up that said, "You might like these sites." Yes, it's scary. Yeah. And then when I opened it up, and I opened it up, shame on me, but it showed sites of motorcycles and puppies. Okay. So, yes, it's weird, I know, but what's really weird and really scary is the week before, I was looking at all kinds of sites about motorcycles, and we are on the search for a puppy. So I bring all of that to you to just to make you aware that there is a lot of things in our world that are trying to get to know you, right? There are a lot of things that are kind of poking and prodding and trying to know us better. Okay, so we'll move past the technology piece. We're going to move on to our final multiple choice question of the morning. So let's not blow it. You guys are doing a great job. Okay, the question is, the fruit of the Holy Spirit includes but is not limited to which of the following? A, love, B, joy, C, peace, and D, all of the above. What do you think? All of the above. You guys have done it. You get 100%. A perfect story. You get gold stars. It's all good. You did a great job. It is those fruits of the Holy Spirit that give us all such great hope in a world that is really hurting. Like the author of Hebrews, whoever it might be, let us go into the world with the message that there is a God that is above all. The most important choice that was made in our life was that Jesus chose us. Christ chose me, and Christ chose you. With all our dents and our dings, the living God chose us. Nobody knows us better than Jesus. God has entered into a new covenant with us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are truly and wholly forgiven. Amen. Amen.